So good morning, everybody. Let me start with a question. Did anybody attend the guru session of Tom Limoncelli just half an hour ago? Yeah, so you remember he said at the end of the guru session, well, now you learned many things on how to manage your time, so try to move from an 80-hour week to a 40-hour week. So what can you do with the time you won? Well, he said, try to change the world, do some good things. So maybe if you're interested about doing that, you can take some things home about my topic. So it's about trying to build ICT capacity, and ICT means information and communication technology in the developing world. So before I start, let me introduce myself. I'm Rudy Hevaert from Ghent University. That's in Belgium. At university, I must make sure the email just works. Next to that, I'm also trying to implement the DevOps culture in our central IT department, but also, and this is the reason why I'm here, I'm doing IT for development projects in Cuba and Ethiopia, and I still think I have some interesting things to share with you about that. In my presentation, I'm going to split it up into three parts. First, I'm going to give some context and background of the programs. It's important you know this because the programs we are doing are not similar to other development aid programs like those of the United Nations or maybe the Peace Corps. I don't know any people who joined the Peace Corps. It's an American organization. It does great things. But also, I'm going to give an overview of the projects in Cuba and Ethiopia. And after that, I'm going to tell you what I actually learned. However, I need to start with an apology. I'm not going to talk about the topics you see on the screen. The software is very good, very nice, and of course we are using it in our programs, but it's not the main topic of the presentation. So if you are expecting that, I'm sorry, but you can also always ask some questions at the end of the presentation. So I said I was going to start with giving some context and background of our programs. Well, in the northern part of Belgium, that's Flanders, we have an organization called FLIR-UOS. And FLIR-UOS is funded by the Federal Minister of Development Cooperation in Belgium. And the main objective of FLIR-UOS is to build academic capacity in developing countries. So what does this mean with my tax money? Well, and the other Belgians' tax money, of course. FLIR-UOS gives some money to the Flemish universities. And those universities then organize programs in universities in developing countries. These programs are normally multidisciplinary, and they also last for a rather long time. With multidisciplinary, I mean a program can consist of several projects, for instance, research in HIV, malaria, child health and nutrition, library, or animal diseases, but also IT or ICT. Just to recap, so the main objective is to build ICT capacity, is to build academic capacity in universities in developing countries. However, I said we also have ICT projects. So, and this is a bit different than other programs, is that in other development aid programs, they of course use computers, they use IT, but they don't really focus on teaching the local people how to implement such services. So I mean, many times they just ship some computers and they expect the people to just use them, but most of the time this doesn't really work. So this brings me to the overview of the ICT projects in Cuba and Ethiopia. In Cuba, we started in 2002, and the program lasts for 10 years. So in other words, actually it's going to end next year in April. In Cuba, we are working in the city of Santa Clara at UCLV. The university has a very long name. I'm just going to call it UCLV. In Ethiopia, FLIR-UOS has two programs. The first program also started in 2002 and also will last for 10 years. So it's also going to end next year in April. And that is with Mekelle University in Mekelle in the northern part of Ethiopia. The second program is with Jimma University. And Jimma University is located southern of the capital that's in the middle. And that program started in 2006 and will also last for 10 years. So you see the programs we are doing are on a long-term basis. Of course, we also have shorter-term projects, but the very big programs last 10 years. The objective of our programs is to help the local university expand and professionalize their ICT services. So in other words, we help the university set up their central IT department. In these programs, we accomplished several things. On the screen, you can see a list of the things we accomplished. I will not go over all of them. However, I will highlight some of them. In Ethiopia, for instance, our biggest success was the creation of a central email system for the university. When we started the program in Jimma and in Mekelle, the university didn't have a working email system. They were using online email services, but of course, as you can imagine, every time you wanted to, the people wanted to read their email, they needed to go to the internet, that was of course slow. So by setting up and actually teaching the local people how to implement a local email server, they were able to save a lot of bandwidth. Even, can you imagine that, like nowadays, people just make their, don't even set up a local email system, but then they just host it on Google. But in the developing world, it's still very necessary to run your own local email server. Of course, while we were doing that, we learned the people many things, like what's DNS, how to install a server, managing the server, going through log files if there is a delivery problem. Also, in our programs, we focused a lot on building capacity in free software technologies. What do I mean with that? For instance, we learned the programmers in the central IT department how to use the PHP programming language, so they were able to develop their own applications for the local university intranet. And we also even learned them how to use a PHP framework called Symfony. We also learned them how to use the Drupal content management system, so they were able to change from static web files, that's so web 1.0, to using a dynamic website, even with a content management system. We learned the system administrators how to set up Open LDAP to implement a local authentication system. We even started using, well, tried to use Samba 4. We gave trainings in installing a computer lab with Ubuntu, even trying to do the installation of the computer lab automatically. We also learned the network administrators to set up a caching proxy server, local DNS servers, and even how to manage their core network infrastructure. We also invested a lot of money in letting them buy infrastructure so they could expand their network. For instance, in Cuba, this is not so evident for expand your network and getting the hardware into Cuba. So we did many different things in our programs, but the main objective was really to help the local people implement those services. We didn't go there and implemented it for them. They should implement those things. Another example is, for instance, in Cuba, when the program started in 2002, the university, well, their local data center was just a small room where they were running the central IT services of the university on a couple of desktop computers. I'm sure many of you started doing it like that, but how long was it ago that you started doing that? But now in Cuba, it was still like that in 2002. Even in other universities in Cuba, it's still like that today. So by the mid of the program in Cuba, we were able to set up a centralized data center with a generator, with UPSs, and several small racks with some servers. Now, so that was around 2006. Now, today, when the program has ended, we already have a bigger, I can't call it a data center like you would see it here, but a bigger room with several racks and all the services, IT services, are centralized in that data center. And of course, they are using the other data center as a disaster recovery site. So while we were doing this, we learned several things. And of course, we didn't know how to do all those things straight away, the correct way. We learned it as by doing. And the first thing we really learned is that in a developing country, the bandwidth is limited and you need to manage it. Is anybody using the internet access in his room, or is everybody using the internet access in the lobby for free? Do you remember what the bandwidth is you get? Yeah, so if you pay the most, how much bandwidth do you get, you remember?
It's 3.
Yeah, 3 megabits per second, huh? Well, when he started in Ethiopia, the university had 4 megabits per second. So that was in 2006 for the full whole university. For the people who attended Vince Cerf's talk yesterday, do you remember what the download or the speed was between Mars and the Earth? Maximum? He talked about that.
So,
yeah, so he said 0.5 megabit per second, probably. Well, in Cuba today, the university still has 0.5 megabit per second to use to go to the internet. So we really have limited bandwidth in those developing countries. So this means you need to adjust your program, and what you implement, you must take that into account. And the most important thing that you can do for that is set up a local caching proxy server. Of course, it depends a bit. Your dynamic websites don't really work well with that, but the more services you offer locally and the more bandwidth you try to manage and save can really help in such situations. Also, another thing we learned to people is how to implement certain policies. For instance, they agreed amongst each other that it's better to not allow surfing to Facebook and YouTube during office hours. Even in Cuba, they implemented that people needed to authenticate and they were only allowed to use the internet connection for a limited amount of time per day, or even were limited to the megabytes they downloaded during that day. So we really teach the people how to implement those things. While we were teaching them those things, we saw that capacity building is far more important than infrastructure building. In many programs, they just buy some hardware, ship it over there, and then nothing really happens because the people don't know how to use the hardware that they were given. So we try to do it differently. We try to train them in using the hardware that we give them or that they purchase. And we do it by a train-the-trainer process. And this is something that's very well known in the developing aid programs, but it frequently fails. What do I mean? Many times they train a selected group of people, and then the ideas that they go back to their institution or university, whatever, to implement it, and then they need to give training to other people. Well, actually, going back and implementing, in many cases, already fails due to external circumstances. And then giving the training to other people, that also fails. Most of the time, it actually doesn't happen. So initially, when we were doing the programs, we had the same problem. And then we changed our tactics a bit. We said to the people, okay, we are going to give you training, but when you return to your institution, you really need to implement it because you are going to give a training to other people from other universities, even other countries. So you're now thinking, that's not different what he said before, but what made the difference is we already organized the second training. So they knew when they returned to their institution, they really needed to implement, because as you all know, you only can teach about something if you implement it. And this really made a difference, because during the second training, we could include a lot of other people, even of the local staff. And that meant, at the same time, we were prepared for the high capacity turnover, high staff turnover, because in developing countries, as soon as you get some skills, you move on. You get a better opportunity, and living conditions are not that very good. So the better conditions you can have, you take the chances, of course. Yeah. We saw during our trainings that the level of the people was limited, but their enthusiasm wasn't. In other words, you cannot compare a bachelor degree with a bachelor degree from here, even not a master's degree. Many people who are doing the IT projects in Ethiopia or Cuba, and Cuba is a bit different, but certainly in Ethiopia, they are bachelors, people with a bachelor's degree. So here people who have a master's degree are running the IT, but over there, very little level. So it's also important to adapt to the local culture. Failures happen due to external circumstances, and sometimes they even inform you about that because it's not part of their local culture. Also, a thing that really helps is having a good relationship with the local management. For instance, in Jima University, the board of directors immediately started using the mail system. In Mekele University, this didn't happen, and after 1 year, we had more than 1,000 local mailboxes in Jima, and in Mekele, only 200. The awareness of IT is not similar, so we really need to focus on building that too. Also, development cooperation is a big business. It can easily happen that in the same university, in the same area or the same field, there are other donors active. And your local partner sometimes doesn't inform the other donor about the other people working there because they want to have the benefits of both parties. If you have a good understanding with the local partner, he will inform you about that, and maybe it will be possible to collaborate. And the collaboration is not that easy, unfortunately. Also, if you have a good relationship with the local partner, the selection of trainees gets far more easy. Otherwise, you will end up in a politics game where you can end up with a training for web developers where half of the participants are system administrators. And it's very important to just train the right people. I previously said that capacity building is very important, even more important than infrastructure building. However, in IT, you can only set up services if you have the necessary and the right equipment. Well, if you not need to purchase equipment in a developing country, it's also different. In the developed world, you just go online, click, 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 and a week later, or maybe 2 weeks later, or even the next day, you already have your devices. In the developing world, you can't do that, of course. You can purchase locally or abroad. In both cases, it is difficult. If you do it locally, you don't even know if it will be delivered or the things that you ordered will be the things that actually will end up on your system. You could get around that by purchasing abroad, but then you need to ship it to the developing country. That will take a long time, and then as soon as it arrives in the country, you need to get it clear through procurement. And this is always very difficult. So you just need to take into account it will last for a very long time. What you need to do is then initially already add the spare equipment, because if a hard disk fails here, you just call to the vendor and 4 hours later, if you have a high support contract, the hard disks arrives. But in a developing country, you don't want to wait 1 hour, 1 year for the hard disk to arrive. Of course, if you need to purchase software, well, just try to avoid that. Choose for free software, as this is actually the most sustainable solution. When setting up services, small is beautiful. Keep it simple, stupid. It is the local people who actually need to set it up, need to manage it, and actually, if there is a problem, fixes. If you set up a system that is high available, very redundant, and has many different components that nobody understands, and certainly not the local staff, it will fail. Just keep it as simple as possible. And also, don't become a dependency, because if the program finishes, the local people really need to be able to handle the situation. And if you are a dependency, the things will fail if there is a problem. That's why it's also important to handle project follow-up during the program. We saw that it's very important to visit the project at least 2 times a year. Of course, when we were visiting the projects, we were giving training and mentoring the people, but also we experienced the conditions the people were working in. Here, if you have a problem, as a sysadmin, we are lazy. We just, most of the time, just go to Google. But if you are in a situation where there is no internet connection for 3 days and you have a service that needs to be working and you are trapped in a problem, what can you do? Well, you can only rely on your own knowledge. So, but if you put even a guy from a developed world in such a situation, it's not that easy. So then you experience the local conditions the people are facing. Also, when we were visiting the projects, we were mentoring them, but we also helped them implement the things. Because sometimes they got the training and they knew how to do it, but they were just waiting for us to implement the things. Just if something went wrong, they could ask for help. This brings me to the conclusions. Of all the previous things I said, you actually just need to take one thing home, and that is make sure that the project, the programs you are doing is sustainable. If you stop, if you go home, if you lose interest, or even the government says, we cut the funds, the program can't continue, make sure it is sustainable. For the programs themselves, we can also make several conclusions. In Jima and in Cuba, we were very successful. In Mekelle, on the other hand, the IT project was not that successful, unfortunately, because we changed the leadership in the program in Belgium and in Ethiopia every 2 years, because the project leader went for another job or was assigned to something else. For myself, I learned not to panic that easily. Rome wasn't built in one day. And working in a program that lasts 10 years, it makes it far more easier to work out things on a long term. What's next? And this is the last slide, in fact. In Cuba, we are going to do 2 new programs starting next year that also will last for 10 years. In Jima, we are halfway the program, so we still have many things to do, and we still have the time to implement them. In Mekelle, next year it stops, and there's no yet real consensus what to do in Ethiopia, so it's a bit unclear what will happen with Mekelle University. This is my last slide. I thank you for your attention. I hope if you have the time to implement such programs, you take these things home. Gracias, or Amaseganalo. That's Amharic. It's the language they speak in Ethiopia. Thank you for your attention. Yeah, so the question is, what's it like working with the local telcos? Well, for instance, in Ethiopia, we had situations where we knew more about the network than the local telcos. Because, for instance, in Mekelle University, the internet was slow. Well, of course, it was always slow. But as soon as we started with MRTG graphs to see actually how much bandwidth we got from the local telco, we saw that actually university was paying for twice the amount that they got. And then we asked the local telco, why is this? And they said, no, that's not true. We are giving you what you want. So we asked them, give us the graphs. They couldn't even give us the graphs. So it's very difficult, and it's a development world. So in many cases, we are constrained by the local telco. And in Ethiopia and Cuba, there is only one telco. So you can't change many things about that, unfortunately.
When you're trying to build sysadmin knowledge and expertise, sometimes it's difficult for people that you're training to learn without actually being able to see good examples. What do you do for things like your data center? I mean, if there's nothing there, they can't learn from what's already there. Did you just take pretty pictures or?
Yeah. So the question is, if you need to teach something to the people, it's good if they have some mentors or see how it's done. But in their case, there are no examples. Well, for trainings, we do it in 2 ways, depending on the situation. Either we give the training in the country or we give the training in Belgium. Like, for instance, for the data center training, we recently built a full new data center for the university. And the person who was in charge of that gave a training in Belgium to several people of Ethiopia who are now going to try to set up their own new data center. So we bring them to Belgium so they can meet other peers to see how things are done.
I just have a question about, are you familiar with or do you work with the Network Startup Resource Center that's based at the University of Oregon? Because they're doing a lot of the same stuff that you're doing internationally in terms of trying to improve network infrastructure in third world countries.
No, I have never heard. Yeah, sorry.
Catch me sometime and I will give you some contact information.
Yeah.
You might really want to
So the
So
the question was, do you know about a certain organization here in the States, I think? No, I don't. And this is one of the, also one of the problems is that and not many people are doing development projects in IT, and also we don't know of each other, and there is no platform. Even finding people to do it in Belgium is very difficult.
That's why I thought it would be good to bring you together. Yeah. Certainly people out there who are doing this. She has said that it's few and far between. There aren't a lot of them. But it's good to hear that you know your university and some of the other programs have been doing this kind of work. But it sounds like you know we should all try notes on people that we should get in contact with each other.
Yeah. When I go to the countries, the maximum period I am there is for 2 weeks. And of course, when people come to Belgium, sometimes they are there for 2 weeks or 1 month. So depending on the time I have available. So we are with a couple of people, not too many. And I started those projects in 2006. So the program in Cuba was already busy for several years. Also, one thing I would like to add is that Cuba and Ethiopia is very different. In Cuba, actually, the people have a very high level. In those programs, we don't have to do that much work. We can just make sure they get the money to buy the equipment and give them some trainings or just put them in the right direction. And then you go back after half a year and you see, okay, they implemented Puppet, for instance, or something else. While in Ethiopia, you really need to build the basic skills.
Thank you.